This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, November 17th, 2017. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, the continuing struggle to eliminate child labour for millions of children. A unique way to confront the privatization of public services in Australia. And the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. While child labour rates have been dropping over the past few years, there is still much more to be done. C-Marie Ainsborough reports.
About 10% of children in the world, some 152 million, are trapped in child labour. Of those, almost half are in hazardous work. That was the stark reality faced by delegates at the 4th Global Conference on the Sustained Eradication of Child Labour in Argentina, November 14th to 16th. One of the speakers at the conference was Christy Hoffman, the Deputy General Secretary of the Global Union, UNI. UNI represents some 20 million workers who are members of 900 trade unions active in the skills and services sectors.
I'd like to stress three points: dignity, opportunity, and responsibility. First, dignity. Child labor is a product of adult poverty, and that's one of the things we've got to eradicate. And starting with living wages for everyone, social protection, but also let's not forget that freedom of association and collective bargaining are enabling rights, which ensure that adults earn decent wages and children are in school and not the fields. Second, on opportunity. We want to all share in the growth of the wealth, opportunity to thrive, where the technology is going to make so many things possible that we can't even imagine today, but opportunity to wipe away, again, inequality and poverty. Shared responsibility. It's the responsibility of our governments. It's also the responsibility of business. It's the responsibility of companies that profit in our global economy to make sure that the people contribute to the value of what they create are treated fairly, that there are no children in the supply chain. We all have to take responsibility to get rid of this problem. We know that where there's a political will, there is a way to do this. This is not impossible. There should not be children in our digital future. There should not be children now working, but certainly when we look forward, it's a fixable problem. Lastly, on responsibility, I want to say that there should be technological responsibility, so that technological innovations have to put the interests of people into the frame. It's not just about coming up with the snazziest new product. We've got to integrate the interests of the whole society. How do we build the political will that's going to be required to enforce human rights for all workers and poverty, and therefore, by extension, the practice of child labor? I think this is the question that we have it within our capacity to end child labor right now. It's an urgent problem. It is not a future world of work problem. We should not come back for a fifth conference. We have the capacity. How do we build the political will to make that happen?
The United Nations has adopted an agenda which calls for the elimination of all forms of child labor by 2025.
The privatization of publicly owned and operated services means taking the commonwealth owned by the people of a country and giving it to corporations so the corporations can increase their profits. Unions can win battles against the privatization of individual services, but fighting the overall policy can be difficult. One of the strategies that can be used to fight government policy favoring privatization is to build coalitions of labor organizations and other civil society groups. An example of this working together has been initiated in Australia by the Global Union Public Services International. The PSI represents national public service unions at the world level. It brought together a number of Australian public employee unions and organized a people's inquiry into the effects of privatization. The inquiry's report was released in late October. Michael Waits is the PSI's sub-regional secretary for Oceania. He spoke at the release of the inquiry's report.
The report that's been launched is the product of many people who have a shared interest. A shared interest of valuing and recognising the importance of quality public services and the key role that they play in a just and fair society. Across the globe, though, we are seeing that a fair society, a just and fair society, is slipping from our grasp. The impacts of neoliberalism are deepening the gap between the haves and the have-nots, diminishing the role of accountability of governments, and undermining the democracy that we say we hold so dear. We need to reverse this trend. We need an alternative to neoliberalism, and it's PSI's hope that this inquiry and the resultant report will play a part in building the alternative. The idea of holding the People's Inquiry into privatisation was grown out of discussion with the Australian affiliates of PSI, being the ASU, the Australian Services Union, the Electrical Trades Union, CPSU, CPSU SPSF, and the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association, of whom I'm a member. Each of these unions are fighting instances of privatisation and are fighting hard, knowing that they can win individual battles. But if we're to stop privatisation as a policy approach, if we're to build an alternative to neoliberalism, then we need to build a broad coalition. And the purpose of holding the People's Inquiry into privatisation was to explore the personal impact of privatisation on our communities, to begin a discussion about the alternative, and to try and help build the alliance that we'll need to win.
One of the unions that participated in the People's Inquiry into privatisation was the Australian Services Union. I talked to its National Secretary, David Smith, at a recent PSI meeting in Geneva. What were some of the results of the study?
Well, it's pretty condemning to the government and their processes. Simply everyone was of the view that public services should remain in public hands, and that all the privatisation that had happened in Australia, particularly in the electricity industry, had resulted in consumers, as well as our members, being worse off in regards to prices and the delivery of service and the quality of service.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 320 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to items about the labour movement's reaction to the coup in Zimbabwe, employer threats of eviction from company-owned housing directed at striking Kenyan tea plantation workers, and concerns about the health of an Iranian union activist who recently returned to jail. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Australian court workers renewed their strike strategy as their pay dispute continued. Guyanese municipal workers stopped work to demand back pay owed to them. Retail workers in South Korea entered the eighth week of their strike in an effort to gain a wage increase. Construction workers in Antigua and Barbuda downed tools to press for improved working conditions. Hospital security guards were off the job protesting 5 months of unpaid wages in India. Public transport workers in Barbados parked their buses in a bid to resolve their scheduling dispute. And our hotspot this week was the United States, where New York City delicatessen workers walked out in an effort to gain a wage increase. Bus drivers were fighting for a living wage. Truckers were demanding pensions. And municipal and education workers were walking off the job in wage disputes. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the women-only union participating in a national protest over the rollback of workers' rights in India, the union challenging a ban on the hijab for hotel workers in Malaysia, complaints of widespread sexual harassment by Taiwanese flight attendants, and a new Canadian law specifically prohibiting workplace sexual harassment. The Health and Safety Newswire, rerun in cooperation with Hazards magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the spontaneous strike by Pakistani sanitation workers after another two of their comrades were murdered on the job, a health and safety strike by Bahamian post office workers, and the horrendous working conditions aboard deep-sea fishing vessels. Currently, Labour Start is running 7 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.